the recording of February 27, 2019, regular Board of Directors meeting to convene at 4 p.m. at the boardroom of Chugach Electric Association at 5601 Electron Drive, Anchorage, Alaska. Can you join me in the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everybody, this afternoon. We're going to start with roll call, and we have a full house of everyone in person tonight. Present in the room, we have Director Henderson, Director Hollis, Director Crawford, Director Morris, Director Clark, Director Reed, and myself. Great to have everybody here in the room. Appreciate it. And with that, we'll have a 60-minute.
All right, it's hard to believe that, I don't know how many months it's been since we had an earthquake, a couple months. A lot of times we talk about earthquakes before they happen in a preparedness standpoint. Now we have a chance to talk about earthquakes after they happen. If we could go to the next slide, please. So we have two slides here. One is about preparedness, and one is kind of what to do as an earthquake happens. And we've all heard this before, prepare for the big one. I would imagine there's some people from the statistics side that says, okay, we've had the big one. We're not going to have another one for 50 years, so don't need to do any preparations. Or those that think the other way and go, hey, it could happen again tomorrow. So with regards to preparing, I would bet that most people after the last earthquake we had probably thought about preparedness, either how well they were prepared or, hey, I need to do some additional preparedness steps that I hadn't thought of before. So speaking for myself, I said, geez, I really need to know where the gas shutoff is. Maybe I need to check my hot water tank to make sure it's properly secured and verify, yes, if my electric goes out, yes, I have heat and things like that. So that's all the preparedness stuff. A couple bullets up here. I won't cover them all. Designate your safe places. I think in the middle, practice drop cover and looking at the security footage at Chugach. I had a chance to see a lot of people do just that, to get underneath the table or whatnot. I imagine a lot of people in this room, when they're in a building, probably did as well. The biggest risk in earthquake is something hitting you from above as things rattle around rather than the entire building collapses. So that's how we do those things. Always keep your cell phone on hand. I think that's a habit that's all ingrained in us, so we don't really have to practice that. Most of us have a cell phone, and so on and so forth. If we could go to the next slide. So this slide says, hey, what do I do if I'm inside the building or outside the building? Was anybody outside when the earthquake happened? So it looks like most everyone was inside, so we practiced our inside techniques, which was to take cover underneath a door frame or underneath a desk. If you're outside, then those rules of engagement are a little bit different, which is kind of the same concept. Stay away from things that could drop on top of you, and probably a lot safer to drop to the ground rather than try and stay on your feet. And I guess on that picture I showed, if you're in a vehicle like that individual was, pull over to a clear spot. Stay in your vehicle is the safest place. And I like it says, keep your seatbelt on. So there's some tips you can review at your leisure. Any questions or comments on earthquake preparedness? I think we all agree that the earthquake was a good chance to refresh those thoughts.
Thank you for that. Very relevant. It's been a while since we've had a big aftershock.
Don't say that.
You're not going to laugh. Yeah, thank you.
Before we jump into the actual agenda, I actually have a couple of presentations that I'm delighted to make. I'd like to present to Mr. Henderson your NREPA Director Gold Certificate. And that is a very impressive thing, because to get your Director Gold certificate, it means you've actually gotten two other certificates before that. You've gotten your credentials, cooperative director, and your leadership certificate. So,
wanting for some time to refresh our logo. We were advised by both Brilliant and Hewitt when we worked during the campaign that we have such a strong brand, we shouldn't monkey with it too much, but we wanted to do a refresh. So we worked with UIT, and as you can see, we've added the mountains, taken out the swoosh that was in the sea, and just tried to green it up a bit with the Powering Alaska's Future and the accent on the top of the mountain. So it's a subtle change, but it's a change. I think it maintains our strong brand, and that's kind of where we landed. We went through several iterations with them, and we just want to make sure you guys like it. We're not going to do a big rollout. We're going to slowly, as we need to change things. Like we're going to order, you know, vests for that employee volunteer program. So we thought we would put it there, but we're not going to go do a big, huge spend. We just wanted you to see it and see if everyone's okay. Lee, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, I think we think a refresh is really due. It's been a number of years that we've had the existing one, and we think now that we're moving forward with the acquisition, we're going to have to do money on signs for new facilities, signs for the trucks, and all that type of thing. So we think it's a good time to release this. And so we spent a fair amount of time looking at different options, and this is kind of what we came up with. So we're going to run it by the board.
Comments or questions?
I guess from my standpoint, I do like the image. The first thing I thought was there any employee involvement in understanding the logo? And then it sounds like you used a third party, so there wasn't. But if you would have said yes, then I would have felt we may have been premature with the acquisition. You know, if you're trying to build a culture, sometimes you bring both sides together through that. But I do like where it came out.
We haven't rolled it out to our employees yet. We were going to do it next week at Lee's quarterly employee meeting, but that's why I wanted to show it to you first. But we did work with UIT and their artistic director, and they went out and looked at a lot of different logos, and when we told them we wanted to add mountains, they thought a lot about that, showed us some other mountains that are being used, but ours is definitely different and unique. And look out the window, and there they are. So, but that's kind of where we landed.
I like it.
Good. Any other comments or questions? All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And we are ready to move on to item number 6, which is director report. First up is going to be APA.
And I have a report.
Excellent.
I'll start by saying that I did an orientation meeting with Crystal last week. It was very informative. Got to meet all of her staff, and afterwards had a very lovely lunch also with Director Chastain and Director Henderson. I have a few notes that I'd like to share. One is the Rail Belt Issues Forum meeting is being scheduled for the week following the NRECA annual meeting. A straw man agenda will be provided in advance of the meeting. Registration is, which was mentioned earlier, is open for the APA Federal Legislative Conference scheduled for June 4th through 6th in Washington, D.C. APA is holding a meeting on Monday about utility liability, vegetation management, and right-of-ways. I believe that's at their office. There are several upcoming workshops, including APA Safety Summit, April 25th and 26th, the APA Legal Issues Workshop, May 9th and 10th, and the Environmental Regulations Workshop will also be in May. The date has not been yet set. And lastly, the application period for two scholarships offered by APA is now open. The scholarships are meant to support students in Alaska who are studying to go into the engineering profession or the electrical trades. The Hank Nichols Scholarship for Engineers offers up to $3,000 to Alaskans working towards a bachelor or master's degree in engineering. And the APA IBEW Local 1547 Scholarship offers up to $2,000 for Alaskans studying in an accredited Alaska vocational school. More information is available on the homepage or APA's website if anyone is interested. That's my report.
I have a question, Harold. Are the meetings that are coming up, there's one on Monday, and then there's a legal one. And are they on our board calendar? Have you talked to
that contact?
Yeah, they are not. They need to be put
Probably if there's something that you guys are interested in attending, it might be good to put those on the board calendar.
I will talk to Arden and make sure we get those on there.
Okay, great. Questions? Any comments? Okay. That's great. Yeah, it was a good luncheon. They are just ecstatic to have us back in the fold. I think you guys probably heard that when you were in Juneau, and just good hang up, good thing, so that was great. Okay, with that, we're going to move on to ARCTEC. You have an ARCTEC report.
We just left there.
Yeah.
we did a lot of introspection today as to what ARCTEC is and if we're accomplishing what we set it up to be, and if there are any things that we can do to enhance the mission of ARCTEC. And we also talked about the filing that we did with the RCA on the RRC, and we didn't decide a whole lot today. We just
discussion.
Just discussion.
Okay. We'll probably talk a little bit more later on about.
Most of the discussion was in executive session. We did talk about the memorandum of understanding on the RRC and trying to get stakeholder involvement and letting Brian's ODT team move forward. So I think the outcome was basically give the committee the time to make the outreach to the stakeholders and try to modify the MOU as best we can to get their input into it. So that's kind of the direction we're headed.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the I thought was important part. David Pass was there, and he and a lot of other folks that he works with, probably one of his staff, had a discussion about this morning at RCA meeting about the certificate of public convenience. By this Transco effort, I thought that was real informative, and it was very current because the whole meeting was about an hour or so before we got together. And the last thing that there was a discussion at the end: what's the purpose of ARCTEC? You know, it was originally set up to run some of these things. If you look at the overall direction, it was going to build. Was going to be the RCC or the Independent System Operator, or God knows all the different names that's been generated. But what it came to was that they were a consortium of the minds of the utilities, except for a couple of utilities for the life of us never really felt like they either generated any good or something. I don't know what their problem was. I mean, we can all discuss that. But it exists because it was a forum for discussion, and not, you know, and maybe the observer of the future, where strategically we need to go, because everybody, all the major utilities were there, and I thought that was really a good summation. They were really concerned about what their object was. They didn't do any hard. They built no building. They strung no wire. But they brought together the minds who carried the influence to the legislators and to the public. And said, this is where we need to go. Here's where we need to go. That's what they did all these years. And there was never any forum that got together and put that together.
thought that was a good summation.
Yeah, I think the one other thing that came up, I think, is just the fact that it's the only forum where you have managers and board members all sitting around a table from each one of the rail belt utilities, so it's very powerful to get that dynamic together. I think they felt that was very important.
Great. Any further questions or comments? Okay. Okay, Rachel, you're going to be up next. So RISA's kicking off the new year. They have a new set of executive officers, a new chair. I think we talked a little bit about that last time. And the policy committee has finally had a chance to meet. And I see on our docket that we have a copy of the Rail Belt Renewability Portfolio Standards. So when I first read this, I will say that I called Crystal today to have a brief conversation with her and make sure I did not miss anything at the policy committee meeting, because that was the day that I had trouble with the TGS email and I had to take it on the telephone, which is a really difficult telephone meeting. There's a lot of activity. There's a lot of noise. All that has happened at REAP to date in the policy committee is that they have agreed that their priority is to come up with the resolution for the Rail Belt Renewability Portfolio Standards. The thing that you have in your packet has not come out of the committee as their resolution. That is the straw man that was put together by a working group that was specific to the RPS project and presented to the policy committee in 2018 and brought before the board, and did not have the will of the utilities to kind of move it forward. And so it was clear it needed to go back into committee. So that is the status of where that is. There is some concern that the numbers that are indicated, the 25 by 25, 35 by 35, they've kind of monkeyed with those numbers, seem to keep appearing in things that are being introduced in Juno as if there is a dialogue somewhere. It is not clear that dialogue has not come from the board of REAP. It's probably REAP business to figure out where that dialogue is coming from if it's not coming from the board and an approved resolution that's come out of a process. I will say that it's worth a conversation, especially now that we have representation on APA about, so I'm on the policy committee, Julie from MEA is on the policy committee, as is Crystal Inquist. And so wondering what's the best use of everybody's time and what is the most powerful statement to say in terms of how we move forward in our participation in the development of a RPS. So one of the things that we can talk about is this something that is really well done in the APA Rail Belt Committee, so that there is a rail belt together, united. This is what we think about the renewable portfolio standards. This is the utility position, and that REAP is given the utility position from APA, from the industry, as opposed to kind of trying to hash this out in a policy committee that may not come to an agreement, but may have a majority that contains utility. So that is the conversation I think we probably want to carry forward at some time, is our strategy for our participation and sort of what we do now in strengthening an industry-wide view.
Okay, I'm going to open that up for comments.
Yep.
Question, Susan.
So if this resolution is already seeing daylight someplace outside REAP, then it seems to me we ought to get our thoughts to REAP, two actual thoughts to REAP, and not be waiting around 6 months while some committee thinks about it, because there are some fairly aggressive statements in this resolution. So I agree with you that it would be good to have APA look at it and come up with some kind of a consensus opinion, but we just can't have somebody saying that am giving to the legislature a comment that high gas prices are all that drives costs, and that mm-hmm. we're going to retire our equipment, and that we're unlikely to do any hydro. That those three things are completely inconsistent with Chugach's experience. So, I mean, I just think we should get something to them in the most polite way. You know, that these that we certainly believe in sustainability, and we believe in renewable power. Harry?
Rachel, did Adam Wohl's name come up as to where this might come from?
No.
So we should ask him.
Hey, Lee, Ed, what she's chatting about and what the MOU discussion, is there consistency on those two? Are they related sufficiently or not?
They're not really related. Okay. It's really a different issue. I mean, I think REAP's interest in the RRC is certainly in this vein, but they're not directly tied to each other. So, but
because there's some major divergence in my, I mean, the conciseness of one and the lack of mentioning in the other are really kind of. And they're from the same organization.
Yeah, I was just suggesting that we should clarify where things are not accurately stated. You know, I don't think it's REAP's resolution, and their policy committee is considering it, as you said. And so the idea would be just here's some input
mm-hmm.
on it, because we can't. I wouldn't suggest that we say we don't like it, or it's just to give them accurate information.
And I will say this was when this came out of the working group to the policy committee, and then it went right to the board in some sort of weird way. The pushback from the utilities was exactly what you're getting. Like, this isn't that we can't even get to the meat of these limits down here because this preamble does not describe the industry. It doesn't describe the utilities at all. And so we got all monkeyed up in the preamble, and then they said, well, this has to come out of this work group, which sort of failed, and put it into the policy committee.
Well, it'd be good to get that information into them so that they have that. And you would be the right vehicle, I guess.
Yeah, Madam Chairman, we do have staff looking at responding to this, trying to come up with the financial impacts if these, if the $50 number is there and we didn't meet it. So I'll have all that put together. We'll have probably a memo that goes to the board, and then we can kind of discuss how we want to get that information to read through to Rachel.
Director Henderson?
Yeah. On the writing of this thing, you said it came from, feel like some of the numbers came from someplace else. Do you have any feel for how that, you already said the preamble became a discussion and everything else kind of got fell into place.
No,
where
so
did
the,
that come from?
The numbers are showing up. So there's legislation from Tom Baggage that is a voluntary legislation, right, that has renewable portfolio numbers, and those numbers have been part of the conversation. That's all voluntary. But those numbers have been part of the conversation that has emerged out of the policy, and it's got a rhythm to it, right? The numbers in here are not the same, but it's 20 by 25, 35 by 35, 45 by 45. That sort of rhythm of those numbers that first appeared in REAP, that first appeared in the REAP strawman, are now appearing elsewhere.
So they feel they started REAP, and then they kind of motivated, moved from there. And second of all, it's kind of convenient. I'm looking at more renewables than you'll ever see. Kind of amazing. I mean, I'm not trying to mimic our president either, but those numbers are too convenient. they're too arbitrary. They're purely arbitrary.
Right.
Yeah, they're 35 to 35, 45 to 45. They're dull. It'd be more rational if it were 22.25%. That looks like somebody made some conscientious effort to something,
Right.
Director Hollis, and then I will have her close the loop because it's a report, so go ahead.
Director Morris, did I understand that when you spoke with Crystal, there was a push to run the utility positions through APA? So APA had a united front with this?
So, yes, my first question, let me be clear, because I don't want to take on the work of the board as a single person. I wanted to clarify with Crystal as a member of the policy committee that I had not missed anything in terms of this is the process, this is where the resolution is, I'm verifying what I'm saying. Then we had a conversation that said, we're all on the policy committee, we ought to get together, Justice Harold ought to be there to talk about how we best combine our efforts. Because one of the things that she said is, I want to hear, I represent all the utilities when I come to these meetings as the APA executive director, and I think I know, based on what I know, what the utilities are going to be thinking of this language and these markers, but I want to actually be grounded in what they, I want to know what TUGET has to say. I want to know, you know, what the other utilities have to say about this before we move forward. So then we said, well, there's got to be a really good way to do that that doesn't have to involve every committee and every person who serves on some sort of committee. That's the extent of the conversation. But, yeah, I think there's probably some greater effort that we could get together, some synergy of some kind.
So where do you want, what do you want from us tonight?
I think it would be great to get the response from the team back up to the board, and then I would be happy to put together some bullet points. This is what I'm taking to the next policy meeting in response to this, and I think it would be great if through Harold we shared that with Crystal to say this is what we want APA to know about how we feel about this this resolution. I think those are the pushing it through those two channels.
It would be nice to know what our outlook is on gas supply for the coming years. I mean, when we were growing really short a few years ago, the state put a lot of money into drilling exploration, and doesn't look like that's going to happen again for any foreseeable future. So what do we have now, and when do we foresee it getting back to that position where we were looking at, well, 5-year supply or so, and not much out in the future?
So, Lee, is that something you can?
Yeah, we've got.
We
get reserve reports from our producers that are confidential, but they show us where, how they're going to meet our contractual obligations. So we can probably do that in executive session, and we'll try to do that. Look at Mark. Next board meeting? Is that?
We can do next, but we actually get the reserve reports in April and in May. So we could maybe.
So that might be a better, would that work for the board for May?
I'm with me.
Okay.
All right.
I'll just point out that the next REIT policy meeting is March 5th, which is next Tuesday, so at least some sort of preliminary thing from you guys to the board and some sort of preliminary exchange, me back out and Harold back out, should happen so that we're prepared for that.
Okay. When was that? Next
March
Tuesday?
5th, next
March,
Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
just one. One question for Crawford. You're requesting the information on the gas, the expected growth and all. Are you trying to think about it from a bigger picture where, you know, what should the board be, where should we believe our renewable component is with respect to other aspects from power generation? That may be a great topic in our strategy session. So that might be better than delaying it until the May board meeting. I don't know. You know, I think that's a great item. How do we get there? What's our future?
That was my reasoning.
Can I just make a comment while you're thinking about our idea? I would consider that topic in the context of the RCA's opinion about our solar farm, however.
Mm-hmm. That's
pretty
true.
Pretty darn yeah. negative.
Yep.
Okay.
So you got
I got one of these
directions now. And Arden, you put that down for
right.
Yeah, okay. That strategic planning session is getting loaded up.
All right, Rachel, you're still on.
Finance hasn't met.
Okay. All right, operations.
Operations, we had a meeting February 6th, I believe, and it was fairly, we had several topics. First topic, of course, was MLMP acquisition, just a status update. We'll have more about that in today's executive session and board meeting. We had a discussion on bylaws. Updates, and that will also be in this evening's executive session. We went through our CEO review, trying to make sure we understood the process and schedule so that we met the required schedule for CEO evaluation. And we also talked about a board self-evaluation, which each board member was supposed to turn in their own filled out self-evaluation to Tom by Friday the 15th, and I believe there's still one outstanding. So whoever it is, please finish
it. Being me.
I didn't know who it was, but that's all.
It's anonymous, so
you didn't have to tell me.
I just forgot. I saw it again today.
Okay. Is that
that's all.
Well, I agree with Stuart's report on the board self-evaluation. We're going to take that up, I think, fairly briefly at the strategic planning session. But we do have Tom. Tom, are you going to come up and tell us what's going on with the bylaws, or do we need to?
Well, Tom's available. It's on our
oh,
agenda.
Executive session.
Yeah. All right, then we'll hold that thought. That's it. Any questions? Okay, other meeting reports.
Well, I wanted to talk about the ENRICA meeting, the Directors Conference in San Antonio. Just to give you a quick overview of the little presentation that we did. This was the first time that ENRICA had ever allowed another entity to put on one of their little breakout sessions. And this Cooperative Leadership Network was something that Janet got involved in, and of course she dragged me into it. It's a national new organization that is just board members. So it's board, not managers, it's board members talking to board members. And they have quite a few, they managed to put together about 300 or 400 members now of just individual board members from all over the country. And she talked me into getting on the board, and so I helped put together this little CLE, this little program down there. There were 500 people in attendance at the conference, and there were 7 breakout sessions, and we got 100 people to
wow.
come and talk, listen to us. We were shocked. I said, you'd be lucky to have 10 people. Well, we had 100 people, and they were all very interested. We talked about diversity on a board, but opinion diversity, not gender diversity or, you know, ethnic, or it was about, which led to a big debate itself, because people said, well, no, I should be ethnic diversity, and other people said gender diversity, and I said, well, it's all about opinion diversity, really. It was very, very good. Not a single person left, and we signed up about another 100 people, and two guys decided to support CLN with a tiny donation of $1,500 a year. Two guys became a member of, or is going to, I think, become a member a Cooperative Leadership Network. And so it was all really positive, and I know everybody here would have enjoyed it, because it was really thinking about how does your board work, as opposed to, you know, some of the more meaty stuff that we get at ENRICA. And I also wanted to let everybody know that I discovered a podcast that ENRICA has put together, and they only have 5 little podcasts out at this point, but it's really good. It's called Along Those Lines. So when you can't go to sleep at night, you stick an earphone in and you listen. And the first one was about how effective are cooperatives in the political arena? The second one was distributed generation. And what are we going to do? Where's it going to come from? And it's really, it's actually very informative. They're about 30 minutes long, and it's really good. So I urge you to just, when you're doing nothing else or taking a bike ride, listen to one of those.
Where you find it?
You can get it on iTunes. You just subscribe on iTunes, and then you get all five of them. It's called Along Those Lines.
Okay, it's not something you go to Enrique's website and find it there.
No, okay. They just put it out for everybody.
Great. This is a quick question. I was kind of wondering about the content of the director's conference and, like, compared to the annual meeting, if you feel like every once in a while, instead of going to the annual meeting, we should go to the director's conference that's really focused on directors, or if it seemed like it was more of the same. I'm just wondering, like, how do we make choices about
what we
should do?
Well, actually, you know, it's probably more sub-kits for us, because, you know, you don't get the rah-rah stuff. You don't get so much of that, you know, and Jim, whatever his name is, wasn't there. They did have a really good keynote speaker who talked about new technologies and what's on the horizon and what should you do and what should you buy, where should you make your investments. I tell you, and it is because it's only directors, you really hear what's going on in the cooperatives more than a packaged presentation. And everybody in the country is working on getting broadband to the rural areas. That is the number. You hear that word more than you hear any other word. So it was really interesting. And I wondered, well, why are we different? And I don't know why we're different, but everybody's doing that. And they're even saying, oh, give up that, you know, 75 or 85-15 rule because you're going to make money. That's going to push your rates down if you have this subsidiary company who's providing broadband. So it was really interesting. So I think it's good.
Now, I want to amplify your point on broadband in the rural areas. There was a PBS program maybe last evening talking about different companies establishing themselves in rural areas or in the less populated areas. And one of the things that restricts them from moving in is the fact that all their automated equipment requires communication with lots of things. And it's all by the internet, and their failure to have access means they don't take their economic engine into these disadvantaged areas. And one of them was a brewery. It was so bad here we had our systems hooked up to cell phones. That was the only access they had, and so this was a big emphasis on, you know. And I, like you said, I don't know why we're not there. I mean, I know it's a good system, but I think we can improve on it.
There was one really interesting comment that broadband in rural America will save rural America. It will stop people from moving to the big cities, because if you can stay home in a beautiful place and do your work and watch the bunnies in the yard, that's a better alternative than moving to the big city. So it's something to think about. And I do think it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as top down. You even feel it there. It's not as top down. It's equal. Everybody's an equal. There were a few managers there, though.
Director Henderson, then Director Hall.
This is really amazing. Although I have wind generation all over Northern Illinois, I'm 45 minutes northwest of O'Hare Airport, and I have no internet at all. It's old copper, and I can get HughesNet, which is a satellite. Other than that, there's, you know, I'm 60 miles from the second largest city in the nation, and there's no internet. It's crazy.
Director Hall?
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because when I was at the winter school in December, that topic was also very prevalent amongst a lot of the directors there. And I found it sort of interesting. It wasn't so much that it was more out of what I sensed almost, how do we stop a decline in our revenue?
Mm-hmm.
Broadband might be a way. And I got the sense that some of them were reaching for that, and we're taking on a lot of risk in doing that. So it was sort of interesting. There was quite a bit of conversation at a couple of different classes that I took. So.
Okay. Good. Thanks, Susan. Report. All right. Any other meeting reports that we missed? Okay. We don't have any unfinished business, and I think we're going to move on to new business. We have schedules, and I think we have some things that Ms. Kaka is going to talk about.
That is that time of year where we're beginning preparations for the next election. Before you, we've got three motions which start out the process for the board, and then we go away for a time until balloting starts, and that will happen later in April of this year. But these three motions pertain to some of the mechanics, which is who is going to serve as our election judge, what is our date of record, which is the date by which you have to be a member in order to participate in the election, and then the last one is the general election procedures that the board committee determines every year on how the election will be conducted. Pretty straightforward stuff.
Okay. So is there a motion regarding...
Go ahead.
I move that the Board of Directors set April 4, 2019 as the date of record for Chugach's 2019 election.
Second.
All right. Director Henderson, did you have any discussion?
Yeah, discussion is, I read this. Is there any significant change from what we've done in the last in the procedures from last year, other than maybe the dates or something like that? It's not redlined, so I didn't try to.
No, there are. Well, we already cleaned up the redlines. The election committee does that work for us, and primarily it's dates. So updating last year's dates to this year's dates.
Great. Mm-hmm. I want to know.
Mm-hmm. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor of approving the motion?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion is approved.
Okay. Next one is our master election judge. And these are very experienced folks, and Bill Simpson's done it a couple of times for us in the past, and he's willing to do it again this year.
Madam Chair, I move that the Board of Directors appoint William Simpson as the 2019 master election judge.
Second. Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. And the third item is you.
Yes, the last one, which we already spoke about. It's the procedures for the 2019 election. There are no material differences except for the date update. So otherwise, we're planning to pursue it the same as last year.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I move that the Board of Directors approve the 2019 election procedures as recommended by the Election Committee.
Second.
Right. Any discussion?
Any adjustments reference to the problem we had? And that's maybe not appropriate here. But it is, tell me.
We have controls in play, additional controls, as opposed to what we had last year's.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you talking about the member list?
Yes.
Okay. Any further discussion? All right. Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion? For approving the election procedures, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We are moving on to item D, which is the simplified rate filing. And, thank you. Hello.
Madam Chair, during our discussion on Tuesday, the vice chair recommended that we add something that was in the discussion into the resolution. So we've done that, and we talked about a majority of the increases because of lower sales. So we put that same language then into the resolution.
Great. That was a good catch. I don't see it in there, though. I must just have an old version, but I think you're worried that it's in there.
It should be. Should be updated.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
I
comment.
I
I had a comment exactly for that, but when they updated it,
just took it away. Well, hopefully we covered it.
Well, sounds like we did.
Okay.
All right.
Anybody have the updated resolution? Yes, the third resolution.
Good.
Okay. So this agenda item is for the simplified rate filing for the December 2018 test year period. It's a pretty straightforward filing. Expenses have been very consistent with the previous filing. It does indicate a system increase of 1%. If anyone has any questions on that, I will welcome them.
Any questions? Susan, did you find it? I still don't see it, so where is it?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the third.
The first
part of the third whereas.
Oh, got it.
Yes, I see it.
We added another whereas.
Yes.
Perfect.
Okay. No questions? Is there a motion?
Move that the Board of Directors approve the attached resolution authorizing Chugach to file with the Commission a December 2018 test year SRF requesting approval to increase the demand and energy rates by 1% to Chugach retail and decrease the demand and energy rates by 0.1% to the wholesale class of Seward Electric System for rates effective May 1, 2019.
Okay. Any further discussion? All right. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, we are moving right along.
Yeah.
We are ready to go into executive session.
Madam Chair, I move that pursuant to Alaska Statute 10.25.175, C1, 2, and 3, the Board of Directors go into executive session to, number one, discuss and receive reports regarding financial matters, the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the cooperative. Number two, discuss personnel matters that may tend to prejudice the reputation or character of a person. However, the person may request a public discussion. And number three, discuss with its attorneys legal matters, the immediate knowledge which could have an adverse effect on the legal position of the cooperative.
All right. And
Okay.
All those in favor of going into executive session?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we are now in executive session. Okay. And we'll take the bylaws first, actually. Okay, now we get to the motion.
Madam Chair, I move that the Board of Directors place the attached bylaw proposal and the comment on the ballot for the 2019 annual membership meeting for a vote by the membership and that the staff forward the same to the bylaws committee for its consideration.
Second. All right. Any discussion? Seeing no hands. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Say nay. Hearing none, the motion passes. Okay. Item C.
Madam Chair, I move that the Board of Directors place the attached bylaw proposal and comment on the ballot for the 2019 annual membership meeting for a vote by the membership and the staff forward the same to the bylaws committee for its consideration.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. First and Lawson, seconded. Any discussion? All right. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion passes.
We will go back up to the IBEW labor agreement. Madam Chair, I move that the Board of Directors approve the attached resolution for the collective bargaining agreement covering the terms and conditions of employment for office and engineering, generation, and outside plant bargaining unit personnel as presented, discussed, and revised in executive session. Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any discussion on the motion? All right. We will take a vote. All those in favor of the motion that's on the floor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay. All right. And the motion passes. So with that, that concludes our new business for the evening, and we will go on to Director comments. Director Henderson?
It's been a fun year. It's worn its all pretty thin. Somebody said to me earlier, didn't you say this was going to be really trying about a year and a half ago? Yeah. Well, it is. So it has been, and thank you. And I'm sorry this evening was a little trying for me, but that's, we're fine. We're fine. Good.
Director Hollis? Thank you.
You know, we say it a lot, but once again, I'd like to thank Lee and the management staff for all the hard work and bringing the information to us. Very, very helpful for us to understand. And you've been very patient with us. So thank you again.
Director Crawford?
I'm just thinking that, you know, the old cliche is, you know, that we should all live in interesting times. Certainly is interesting.
You know, it's so calm when it's presented to us in such a calm voice, and I know that not everybody can feel confident every minute of the day, so I really appreciate the new presentations that we get to give us the confidence that everything is under control. Particularly, I want to note Sherry's presentation today, which was just spectacular, as always, and I loved her little phrases like demand load positives and resource restricted and right-sized and touching base. And I just, if you could throw those kinds of terms into something that's pretty damn dry, it makes for just a terrific performance. Thank you. And her new curve is good too, right?
Director Moore?
Yeah, I thank you for today. I really feel like everybody brought their A game. Felt like it was pretty easy to get through the packet and kind of look at the agenda. I loved the times and the attention on keeping the meeting reasonable. I felt like we were all prepared. I appreciated the questions from my fellow directors. I feel like we're doing our job. The staff presentations were on point and really good and informative. So, yeah. I feel really great about this meeting, so thank you.
Mr. Park?
Like usual, thank you, Lee, and your staff. I think you guys did a great job. And also, the directors, I agree that it seemed like everyone was prepared. There was questions. We had good discussion. I also liked the director report section. We actually had some substance in it, and which brings out more interest in what these reports are really for, telling us what's happening. And I'm looking forward to going to the NREPA podcast and listening to along those lines.
It's actually good.
I will.
He said 9% of the American voters in the last election were rural co-op members. Oh, maybe it was 90%. Of course, I didn't get anything out of listening to the podcast. Did you listen? I did listen.
Really?
Figure that out.
Well, I really appreciate when we have our meetings
prior to this, you know, the chair and the vice chair, they always come up with good questions and they add some content, and I really appreciate bringing that if I can act on it and improve on the product. So thank you very much for your attention to detail. It's been great.
Thank you. And I will second that I just love having Susan as the vice chair. You know, we both catch different things. We both have different areas that I guess that you drill down in on, and I just love the fact that she reads every single word in all the fine print on every one of these legal
things. I don't try, I just catch good stuff.
Thanks, Director Hollis said thanks for efficiency, and I think that's what I'd like to say thanks for this evening. The meeting was super efficient. I can't say enough how much I love this format. Having a timeline, it really does, I think, keep everybody on track, and it just makes for, I think, the better, the great presentations and the efficient information, and for the directors to be very efficient with their questions and to be prepared. I think it makes life really good for everyone. So thank you to staff and Lee. And with that, I will take a motion for adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Yeah. 5 seconds. All right. So all those in favor of adjourning? Aye. All right. And with that, we are adjourned.